Shavua Tov. This is a recording of the shiur that we had on Shabbos Parshas Vayelech. We're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. And what we're dealing with is the question of the ksuba that is owed to a woman in the event that the man and the woman married, and at the time of the marriage, the man was unaware that she was a mukas eitz. Mukas eitz means she had lost her basulim. She no longer had the hymen. However, it wasn't because of sexual interaction. It was some other physical accident that, some trauma that caused her to lose the basulim. And as we said in the shiur today, we like to think that the concerns that a man would have when marrying a woman would be more elevated, that he'd be looking at her chesed, and he'd be looking at her wisdom and things like that. And an unfortunate reality, certainly in the time of the Gemara, was that was not where everybody's minds were. And there was a concern that men had that she should be a besula. And besula apparently meaning not only that she had never been with a man, but that the hymen should be intact. And so the man who marries her and then finds out that she was a mukas eitz, that there were no basulim, says, well, I don't know her aksuba of 200 zuz, and as we'll see, he may even claim that there was a misrepresentation when he married her, and therefore the whole marriage should be void. So that's what we're dealing with in the Gemara, is what happens if he didn't know that she was a mukas eitz. We have a debate among the Tanoim where you do know that she's a mukas eitz. Does she get a full 200 zuz ksuba, or does she get only 100 zuz for the ksuba? Is the 200 zuz about never having been with a man, in which case a mukas eitz still gets 200 zuz, or is the 200 zuz about having basulim still, in which case the mukas eitz doesn't have basulim, so she has 100. That's where the guy knows at the time. Everything is up front. But what if he didn't know and he found out later? So last week we saw the view of Rami Bar Chama. And Rami Bar Chama took the position that in the event that he knew, so we have this debate, 200, 100. However, if he didn't know beforehand, nothing. There's no ksuba. This is mekach tos. Rabbi Meir will say, Rabbi Meir said, if he knows before marrying her, it's 200 zuz. If he didn't know, nothing. The Chachamim, the sages, said it's 100 zuz if he knows. If he didn't know, it's mekach tos. Her status was misrepresented to him. And that's that. That was the position of Rami Bar Chama. And if you look at the sheet, you'll see on the table, the top table, that you see Rami Bar Chama's explanation, very straightforward and simple. The problem with Rami Bar Chama's position is that we have a Mishnah coming up on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which is going to address a case in which she has no basulim, and they're already married, and the man says it's because she had been with somebody, and she says, no, it's not that I was with somebody, it's that I was a mukas eitz before the marriage ever happened. He says it was before the marriage ever happened. She says it wasn't a question of infidelity. That's not the discussion. His allegation is that she had been with a man before the marriage, and she says I was a mukas eitz before the marriage, and there Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say we believe her. Now, if I were to take Rami Bar Chama, who says that if she was a mukas eitz before the marriage and he didn't know, she's getting nothing, then what do Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer mean when they say, well, we believe her. We believe her to say she was a mukas eitz before the marriage, then she's not getting a ksuba. What do you mean, we believe her? We believe her to what? To not get a ksuba? That doesn't make any sense. So Rami Bar Chama's position can't stand up versus the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, it could be. You could come up with another source from a Mishnah, a Braisa, that Rami Bar Chama could believe in and say it's a machlokas between the two sources, but we don't have that. So this Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel erases Rami Bar Chama's position. So now we're back to square one. So the question is still, what is the status of her ksuba if the man marries her and only afterwards finds out that she was a mukas eitz? So we get a statement from Rava. We are on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, five wide lines down. If you see where the lines get wide and you go down five lines, Ella Omar Rava. Rather, Rava says, Bein hikirba ubein lo hikirba. Whether the guy knew or did not know that she was a mukas eitz at the time of the marriage, Rabbi Meir Masayim. Rabbi Meir says you get 200 zuz anyway, which makes a lot of sense, because Rabbi Meir said being a mukas eitz doesn't change anything. right? He said Mukas Eitz is irrelevant for the Ksuba. The only issue for the Ksuba is had she actually been with a man before. But I don't care about whether she has Besulim or not. It's like saying I married her and then I found out that her fourth cousin twice removed was a car thief. Okay, that doesn't change anything about it. But I didn't know at the time of the what? Yeah, okay, you didn't know at the time of the wedding. Thanks. It doesn't change anything. It's not a meaningful piece of information. So Rabbi Meir's position is that her being a Mukas Eitz is not a meaningful piece of information. So since it's not a meaningful piece of information, it's 200 zuz for the Ksuba. Whether you knew about it or didn't know about it doesn't make a difference. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. However, the position of the Chachamim is more nuanced. As Rava continues, and he says, Le Rabbanan hikir ba mana, lo hikir ba. The Rabbanan will say, in the event that he knows beforehand, then it's 100 zuz, which we already said. In the event that he didn't know at the time of the marriage, then she gets nothing because there was a misrepresentation, because the Rabbanan took the view that this actually does matter, that it is meaningful to know that that she was a mukas eitz. It changes the value of the ksuba because it does matter to the man. So this is Rava's resolution to the problem, and it's simple and straightforward. You want to know what happens if he didn't know she was a mukas eitz? It's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. And then that Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, in which Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer said that we believe her to say she was a mukas eitz before the marriage, is consistent with Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says that she would then receive 200 zuz. So that's what they're saying, is we believe her and she gets 200 zuz. Okay, it would be wonderful if we could just stop there. If we could just stop there in the Gemara, move on to the next topic, then this sugya would be very easy. The problem is that it's not that straightforward. Amoraim in the Gemara, many of them, are prolific. They weigh in on debates and sources all over Shas, and few are more prolific than Rava. Rava speaks about everything. You can't turn a couple of pages without tripping over Rava. So we're going to see that Rava made a statement in a completely separate conversation that ends up showing us that he changed his mind on the issue of a woman who has a mukas eitz and the husband didn't know. We're going to see that he has a different view based on his statement in a completely different conversation. So what we're going to do is immerse ourselves in a completely different conversation regarding two brisos that seem to conflict with each other. And we're going to work our way through these two brisos and see what Rava said about the two brisos. And once we've seen that, we'll be able to come back to our conversation. So we need to shelve the discussion about the guy who didn't know that she was in Mukas Eitz at the time of the wedding into a completely different conversation. Okay? The completely different conversation is regarding two brisos which deal with a case in which something happened before Kiddushin. And the question is going to be, it's some kind of sexual relations that happened before Kiddushin, and, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, let's deal with it, but if you have the sheet, you'll be able to see the second table on the sheet. Okay. So, let's begin. We are now, if you're looking at the wide lines, the end of the sixth wide line. Vahadar be Rava. Rava recanted from what we said for him before. Disanya. Here's the first brisa. We're going to present the brisa. We're going to rewrite the first brisa. And then we'll see the second brisa. So here's the first brisa. It deals with a case of defamation, where a man says something about a woman that gives her a bad reputation. And he's lying. Ketzad Hotzas Shem Ra. The case of Hotzas Shem Ra. We know the case in the Torah of Hotzas Shem Ra is the case in which a man marries a woman and then he says, hey, there are no Besulim, and he is lying. So look at this case. Bala Beis Din. He comes to the Beis Din. Ve'amar Ploni, and he says, Lo Matzasi Levitcha Besulim. I married your daughter. There are no Besulim. Im Yesh Edim Shezinsa Tachtav, Yesh Laksuva Mana. So the Brisa in its initial text says, if there are witnesses that she indeed was promiscuous while married to him, she's only getting a ksuba of 100 zuz. End of Brisa. Now, clearly that can't be the case. That makes no sense whatsoever. In the event that she was promiscuous when she was already married to the guy, then there, you know, do not pass go. Do not collect 200 zuz. Do not collect 100 zuz. Don't collect anything. As the Gemara says, im yesh edim shezin tzatachta baskilahi. If there are witnesses that there was promiscuity during the marriage, that's capital punishment. What are you talking about? You know, after kedushin, it's skila. After there's no way that brisa says she's getting a ksuba of 100 zuz. So we have a problem with this brisa. We already know this is a problem brisa. Hachi kiyomar. This is the way to read the brisa. Im yesh edim shezin satachtav beskila. If there are witnesses that there was a promiscuous event after the marriage or after the kiddushin, skila. Zinsa meikara yesh laksuba mana. Whereas in the event that what the witnesses show is that she had been promiscuous before the marriage, so she gets a ksuba of 100 zuz. That's the statement that we're making. If she was involved with somebody before Kiddushin, she gets 100 zuz. And on that, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin quotes Rav Sheshes. The Amar of Chiya bar Avin, Amar of Sheshes, Zos Omeres, this teaches me the following. Kansa bechezkas besula v'nimtzeis be'ula. If he marries her thinking she's a besula, and it turns out that she'd actually been with a man, that she was promiscuous, yesh la ksuba mana. She's still getting 100 zuz. That's the implication of this source, this brisa that you're bringing me. Is that, not an implication, it's an explication. The brisa actually says it explicitly. In the event that he didn't know when he married her, she's still getting a ksuba of 100 zuz. That is what brisa number one is telling me, as explained by Rav Sheshes. If you look at the table, you see the column. Rav Sheshes says, in the event that she was with a man before Kiddushin, she's getting 100 zuz. Now, you'll see, if you look at the table, I gave you three different ways a woman could lose the besulim, generally. The first is mukas eitz, right, where it's some physical trauma, not sexual relations. That's not what we're talking about right now. Next, rape before Kiddushin. And third, znus, promiscuity before kiddushin. I mentioned the rape case because it's coming up in the next brisa that we're going to bring. But the statement right now in brisa number one is Rav Sheshes says if she lost her besulim through sexual relations before the marriage and the guy did not know, he didn't know at the time, she's still getting 100 zuz. Okay. Along comes Rav Nachman, and he brings me brisa number two. And that's where Rav Sheshes gets into trouble. Umasiv Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman challenged, we're about 11 lines up from the bottom. We have a different brisa, which says, Hanosei es ha'isha, man marries a woman, thinking she's a basula. Velo matzala basulim, and then there are no basulim. V'hi omeres misha erastani ne'enasti v'nistach v'sadeyu. She says, I'll tell you what happened. I was a basula at the time of the Kiddushin, and then I was raped, God forbid. And she says, Nistachva Sadehu, literally his field got ruined, his field got flooded, meaning it's your bad luck. It's just the way it is, and therefore my ksuba is 200 zuz. The guy is, well, you'll see for yourself. Vuhu Omer Loki, he says that's not what happened. Ela ad shalo erastich. You were raped before the Kiddushin. And instead of showing sympathy, the guy says, V'haya mekhi mekach tos v'les la klal. He says, you were raped before the Kiddushin. You weren't a basul at the time of the Kiddushin. And you didn't tell me, well, that's misrepresentation, that's mekach tos, and therefore you get nothing. And again, the lack of sympathy for the victim of a rape is mind-boggling here. But the Gemara is discussing it in terms of legal rights, not what one should do. So that's, you know, to be very clear in that regard. But here's the point, and here's what Rav Nachman is trying to show you. In this brisa, you're dealing with a case where there are no basulim. She says it was after the Kiddushin, and therefore I get 200 zuz. And he says, no, it was before Kiddushin. And since it was before Kiddushin, she should get nothing. Nothing. Zero. If the loss of Besulim occurred before Kiddushin. So Rav Sheshes told me that in Brisa number one, we said that if she lost her Besulim due to rape before Kiddushin, or promiscuity, either way, it was 100 Zuz. However, here, Rav Nachman says, the Brisa says, she gets nothing. When one would imagine, if she's getting nothing where she was raped, she's certainly getting nothing in the Znus case. So I don't understand. You're telling me that your rewrite of Brisa number one is to say that there's 100 Zuz in this case. I have Brisa number two that says, no, it's not true. She's getting bupkis. She's getting nothing. So your rewrite of Brisa number one is problematic. Now, again, Rav Sheshes could bring another Tana and say, ah, but I follow this one. But we don't have Rav Sheshes doing that. We don't have another Tana. So what is he going to do? Rav Sheshes says it's 100 Zuz. I have a Brisa that says it's either 200. I'm sorry, not that it's 200. I have a Brisa saying that it's zero. So what do you do? So Chiya Bar Avin offers you a very interesting resolution, which is going to get thrown out. But nonetheless, we walk through it. Amar lehu Rav Chiya Bar Avin. Rav Chiya Bar Avin says, Efshar Rav Amram, v'chol gedolei ador yasvi ki amar Rav Sheshes lahashmaisa, v'kashyalu. He says, it could be. Rav Amram and all the gedolei ador are sitting there when Rav Sheshes said that Brisa, and they had this question. Vishani, and they gave the following answer. My mekachtos nami. What do we mean when we say mekachtos? Mimasayim. Mekachtos means she's not getting 200 zuz. Avamana isla, but she is getting a mana. She is getting 100 zuz. She's just not getting 200 zuz. Mekachtos, there was a misrepresentation, and therefore she gets 100. The guy isn't trying to say she gets nothing. The guy is trying to say she gets 100. That's Chiya Bar Avin's read of Brisa number 2, as you see on the table, that actually she gets 100. To which the Gemara says, what? What are you even talking about? That doesn't make any sense. He says, hold on one second. Yeah. Efshar Rav Amram v'chol gedolei ador yasvi ki amar Rav Sheshes lashmaisa v'kashlu v'shani my mekachtos nami. What does it mean when it says mekachtos? Mimasayim from 200 zuz. Aval mana isla, but she does get 100. V'at amrit les laklal. It could be that they said that that this is the answer and she's getting 100, and you're saying she's not getting anything? Of course she's getting something. She's getting 100. You're reading that case of Mekachtos as saying she's getting nothing. It's not true. It's not less laklal. It's not that she's getting nothing. She's getting 100 zuz. The Amar Rava, to which Rava replied, Manda kamosiv shapir kamosiv. No. You can't get away with that. You can't read that brisa to say that it's mekachtos and she's getting 100 zuz, and therefore there's no challenge from that brisa. There is a challenge from that brisa, because mekachtos legamri mashma. When someone says mekachtos, that means nothing. You're getting zero. So therefore, you can't read the brisa that way. You can't say brisa number two is saying that it's 100 zuz. Brisa number two is saying that if she indeed lost her besulim due to rape at the time of the kiddushin, before the kiddushin, then she indeed is getting zero. Well, then what am I going to do? I have brisa number one that seems to indicate, according to Rav Sheshes, that she's getting 100 zuz. Brisa number two saying you get zero. So Rava says, the answer is you have to rewrite Brisa number one again. We're now giving version number three of Brisa number one. And in this version of it, it'll all work out in terms of Brisa number one versus Brisa number two. Rava says this is the way to do it. The Gemara says, Ve'ela kashahach. So now I have a problem of Brisa number one versus Brisa number two. We're five lines up from the bottom. Taritz ve'imahachi. Resolve it and say this. The way to read Brisa number one is, im yesh edim shezinsa tachtav, if there are witnesses that she actually was with somebody, she was promiscuous during the marriage, beskila, then capital punishment. Zinsa me'ikara velo klum. If it's that she in fact was promiscuous before the marriage, then she's getting zero. He doesn't address the rape case. He says if she was promiscuous before the marriage, she's getting nothing. And that's consistent with Brisa number two, presumably. Nimtzeis mukas eitz yesh laksuva mana. When did Brisa number one say that there's 100 zuz for a ksuba? If she turned out to be a mukas eitz. That's where Brisa number one said that she's getting 100 zuz. So therefore, Brisa number one and Brisa number two can play nicely together. Brisa number one said 100 zuz in the case of mukas eitz. Brisa number two said zero in the case of rape pre-kiddushin. Brisa number one didn't discuss that. And Brisa number one says that in the case of znus before the kiddushin, promiscuity, then there's nothing. So that's what Rava does. He rewrites Brisa number one, which now, let's take that conclusion. In rewriting Brisa number one, Rava said if she was in Mukas 8 before Kiddushin, she's getting 100 zuz. As opposed to Rava previously, who had said that if she's in Mukas 8 before the Kiddushin and the guy didn't know, Rabbi Meir says 200 zuz, and the Chachamim say it's 100 zuz. And the Chachamim said zero zuz. So that clearly can't be what he believes. So the Gemara says, didn't Rava say that according to the Chachamim, if he didn't know she was in Mukas Eitz at the time of the wedding, then she gets nothing? The answer is Rava recanted from that position, and instead what Rava must believe is that Rabbi Meir says she gets 200 zuz if the guy didn't know, just like before. And the Chachamim says she gets 100 zuz, the way that he read Brisa number 1. So now you go back to the top table, Rava version 2, says Rabbi Meir says 200, the Chachamim say 100. Which means that when we have the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, which says that the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say, we believe her, that's consistent with both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says, we believe her, she gets 200. The Chachamim say, we believe her and she gets 100. But either way, she's receiving a ksuba. The only question is the amount. So that's where we left off. We had some discussions also about applicability of the ksuba in our day, but that's not making it into the recap. All right, God willing, we pick up next Shabbos. Gemar Chasima Tova.